Clap your hands, oh ye people. Please be seated very quickly. Let me acknowledge a music minister in the house. I can cite him. Brother Emeka Madubata. Very lovely. Dear psalmist. Beautiful spirit. One of the remnants we have. See, let me tell you. The real ones are not the very popular ones. Just take what I'm saying. Sometimes God gives the genuine ones notoriety. You know, makes you famous. But it's a very hard place to stay. He's a great guy. God bless you. Honor him. Hebrews 6:1-2. Today we'll hear something that we don't really hear in churches again. But the Bible calls this one of the principles of the doctrine of Christ. And when we spoke about principles, you know, of the doctrines of Christ, we are talking about the very foundations of our faith, the very cornerstones of our faith, that if they are not there, we cannot be established. And that's really the problem with a lot of our believers today. There's a lot of knowledge everywhere. Social media, if you're a believer and you identify yourself as such, just go online. Depending on who you follow, there's stuff flying around. But sometimes not the things that you and I really, really need. So we decided that since we've said that this is a year of depth, we want to revisit the foundations. You know, because there's no point talking about deep things if you don't know the elementary things of our faith. Do you understand? So that's the rationale behind our study. And, you know, God has helped us. We've gone through the first 5 principles. Amen. And all our speakers did a great job. We began with what? What did we begin with? Repentance from dead works. And then once you repent from dead works, where do you go? Faith towards God. And after that, the of baptisms. So we studied baptisms. Pastor Oche did a good work on that, great work. Pastor Owai helped us tremendously on repentance, what it means to repent. And repentance is not just remorse. That repentance is remorse plus reverse. Amen. So repentance is remorse, and then you turn and change direction. E.g., you are hanging around with a babe or guy, and they are always making you commit. Then you come to church, you hear a word, and then you cry. You say, Lord, forgive me. I won't do it again. That is remorse. What is reverse? You block the person. Or you stop going out with the person. Do you understand? In practice. Amen. So you change direction. So if you come and you cry, oh God, forgive me. See, I won't do it again. And then you go again. And then you're hanging around the person and you are gisting and chatting. You are just deceiving yourself. Amen. Amen. Do you understand? And we said faith towards God primarily means faith towards Christ. Amen. Putting our trust, leaning wholly, fully on what Christ has done and accepting him, Jesus the Messiah, as the sent one of God and placing your trust in him. Okay? Accepting what he has done on the cross and seeing that as a basis for your salvation. Amen. And, you know, allowing his Holy Spirit work in you. The Bible says the same grace that brought salvation teaches us to deny what? Ungodliness and worldly lust. Amen. So that's faith towards God. And then we learn to live by faith. The Bible says the just shall do what? Live by faith. Amen. That's how the believers live. And we share this on YouTube. You know, but it's good to have this recap. And then we went to the doctrine of what? Baptisms. We studied the various kinds of baptisms. Baptism by water, which is a symbol, an open declaration that you have died and are buried with Christ, and with his resurrection, in his resurrection, you have risen. Amen. And when you rise, you are resurrected from the sin nature. Amen. So sin was dealt with on the cross. Amen. And then we spoke about the baptism of the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then we had some practical sessions here. You know, we laid hands on people and they were baptized, filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Yeah. And then we went to laying on of hands, which is, you know, really a follow-up from that. And we shared, Pastor Owai shared something profound. You can check online the importance of the ministry of laying on of hands. Amen. Which, interestingly, is one of the ways that we can communicate the impartation of the Spirit. Amen. And then we went to resurrection. And Minister Esther did a great job on that resurrection from the dead. And she let us know that resurrection is not just, you know, coming back from the dead. Because there are people who are raised back from the dead who will die again. And if they die again, they may die and end up in eternal damnation. But more importantly, that resurrection is being raised from the dead and being changed. Amen. To the same image, that our physical bodies are transformed, transfigured. Amen. And now, we go to eternal judgment. Amen. It will shock you that most Gen Z millennials don't even know this. Because when we're born again, we begin to talk about how God will bless us, will prosper. That's okay. But those are, I mean, if you feed on that for too long, you are feeding on ice cream. And in these last days, with the persecution arising in these last days, with if you watch the news, you know, the famine arising, who would have thought that a basket of tomato again will be 200,000? And that, while people are still earning 30,000. If you don't have Jesus in these last days, your mental health will see shaking. Yes. So let's go right through. Let's read together Hebrews 6, 1 to 2 and Hebrews 9, 27. One to go. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection for eternal judgment. By the way, dead works is not just outright sinning. Dead works can be the things that you are doing religiously to end the love of God, to end salvation. Amen. Do you understand? You are trying to do things, you know, and it becomes works. It's just like a way, it's like being in church. Okay, you are born again. But the primary driver for which you do stuff is that I want God to love me. The Bible says he has already loved you with an what? Everlasting love. Dead works are things that you do that do not bring glory to God. They can be summed up as dead works. And as we begin to see the various kinds of judgment, you will see that they will be tested. Amen. Hebrews 9:27, a scripture that a lot of us don't like, but we must read it. One to go. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this judgment. This is the Bible. It says once to die. After this what? So that negates the idea that there is a place that when you die, you go and hang up first. You know, and then you live another second life. Then, depending on what you do there, they'll let you in. After you die, judgment. And the state in which you die determines your state in eternity. The state in which you die determines your state in eternity. That is such a severe, serious statement. And let's begin to look at it now. So we look at that first word. Okay, before I go there, it is important to state that if there is a system of judgment, then that means there must be accountability. See, if there's a system of judgment, then there must be accountability. Am I making sense? And if there is accountability, it ultimately also confers or brings upon us responsibility. Do you understand? Now, so what am I trying to say? God in his wisdom has designed that, you know, there will be a day, a payday, when the way that we have lived on this side of eternity will determine what we get on the other side. And it is the same concept even in our life today. Okay? There is a reward system. There are cause and effect. That's why when you walk, even in your workplace, there is a system of appraisal, right? Which is based on how you fed. HR people know that, Abi. Amen. Even in the way that our society is ordered, all right, there is a system of judgment. We have the court system, we have the legal system, you know, that administers judgment and justice. So that just mirrors the overall, you know, concept of God, you know, and because of that, you know, there is no chaos. Of course, there is, I mean, every now and then people, you know, behave in a way that is not appropriate, and that's why there is punishment. And when you do good, there is reward. When you do bad, there is what? Punishment. Amen. And that whole system of judgment helps the universe to work in order. Amen. For example, do you know that if tomorrow there is no more punishment for crime, hope you know there will be chaos on our streets. Literally. That pamparara, Nigerian government says from today, if you steal, nobody will do you anything. You will even see that the Christians were not stealing before. That it was not really Jesus that was stopping them. That it was consequence. Amen. But that's living on a low level. You and I should follow Jesus because we love him. How many people will still follow Jesus if there was breaking news? Ladies and gentlemen, that heaven and hell we told you about does not exist. You hear some people say, Okbeo. Amen. But you and I are the company of those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. We should love him so much that we say, if we wake up and there is no hell again, we'll still follow you. Amen. We are following you because you are so good. We love you. Hallelujah. So if there's a system of judgment, that means there must be accountability. And if there is accountability, that ultimately brings about responsibility. Amen. And you can see that in the parable of the talent. Amen. You have, and I won't go to that because that's not our focus. You see, there was a man, you know, a master who handed out what talents to three people and, you know, and expected them to utilize it. Amen. You know the story. And when he came back, he did an assessment. Those who, you know, brought profit, he what appraised and handed more responsibility. And those who did badly, he did what? The one who did badly, he did what? He brought judgment. Amen. Those are types and shadows of the bigger picture of judgment. Amen. So you get that principle. So let's look at the words eternal. Eternal there is the Greek word. The New Testament is written in Greek. Means perpetual. Say perpetual. It means past and present together. And listen to this. It means forever. And then it also means everlasting. Let me say it again. You know, because if we truly understand these words, if they make impressions on our heart and the Holy Ghost helps us to understand these words, then if we live our lives in the light of eternity, we will understand that the way we live here don't just have short-term consequences, not even long-term. They have eternal, forever. What does forever mean? Let me give you an example. After you have lived 1 billion years, then we'll start counting. It means it's endless. The right word I'm looking for is hopeless, in the negative sense. If they sentence a man to 1,000 years and he can live for 1,000 years, and they say to him, after 1,000 years, you'll be free. There's still hope. Hope you know that. There's still hope. But eternal, eternity means that it's forever. So when you juxtapose that to this short interruption here on earth, you see that many times we live our lives. So the Bible says to live as wise people. Not living as unwise, but walking circumspectly. Amen. So it means everlasting. The word aineos. Now let's look at judgment quickly. The word krima, it means decision. Say decision. It also means determination. Negatively, it means condemnation. It also means sentence. It also means to avenge. Hallelujah. So that's eternal judgment, and I'll give you the definition in a short while. Now, if there is judgment, there must need be a judge. Amen. And let's see from scripture who this judge is. John 5:22. We will look at lots of scriptures very quickly, and we read together. Please, let's read together. One, two, go. For the Father judgeth no man, but had committed what? All judgment to what? You see? To the Son. That's why I laugh when people say, I believe in God, but I don't believe in Jesus. You will face him one day. And may God help you that you did not face him here at the altar call, at the oasis, as a savior. May you not face him after you shut your eyes. For it is appointed what? Once to die. Mercy only exists while you are breathing. Mercy ceases to exist when the human soul or spirit lives and crosses that great divide. So Jesus will not that day sit as that baby in a manger or the savior who's always calling us to come. He will sit to administer judgment. Amen. Another scripture, Acts 10:42. So it's important that you know this. The Bible calls this one of the principles of the doctrine of Christ. In other words, if this were a course, this would be like a main unit. Those main units are what you need to pass to even advance. So, and one of it is eternal judgment. Eternal judgment. One to go. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and of the dead. If you read that context, you see he's talking about Jesus. We just have no time. Acts 17:31. So, want to go. Because he had appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he had ordained. Who is that man? Whereof he had given assurance unto all men, in that he had raised him from the dead. So that's Jesus. Say, Jesus is the righteous judge. It is clear by these witnesses. I can give you two or three more. Maybe I should give you two more. Romans 2:16, that Jesus is the judge. He will judge. Let them mock him now. Reject him now. Despise him now. But one day, you will face him. May you face him after you've accepted him. Oh, it's a day that no one should face. Want to go? In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, we will go there. The secrets of men. Let's look at Daniel 7, 9, and 10. Daniel 7 and 9. Holy Spirit, help us to create a holy fear in this place. Reverence and sobriety of heart. Cause us to be sober. In Jesus' mighty name. Want to go? I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels, that's why I got that word, seated on the flaming throne. That's why I got it from scripture. Please give us in the NLT. And a river of fire was pouring out, flowing from his presence. Millions of angels. Read the verse 9 in NLT. I watched as thrones were put in place, and the Ancient One sat down to judge. His clothing was as white as snow. Yes. He sat on a fiery throne with wheels of fire. That wheels of fire and the river of fire flowing in the, it speaks of judgment. Amen. Now, let's look at who that Ancient of Days is. Okay, in Revelations 1, 13 and 14, Revelations 1, Father, I pray for someone having a serious chest condition here. I pray healing in the name of Jesus. Want to go? And in the midst of the seven candlesticks was like one, what a son of man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded about the paps with a golden girdle. 14, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as flame as fire. Do you see that in Daniel 7, 9, and 10 is a similar description? His hair as wool is like fire. But he's called the Ancient of Days there. But in Revelation, he's called what? The Son. Amen. Hallelujah. So, without any argument, who is the judge? Who is the judge? Amen. Let's move on. So, by definition, you can write, I wrote a couple of things. Eternal judgment is defined, number one, this, a decision with perpetual implication or ramification. Perpetual. It will never end. Eternal judgment. What we are looking about. We're not just looking about, there is judgment in this life. And let me even touch on that shortly. The Bible says that the sins of the father will be what, visited on what? But there came a time, I think in Ezekiel, I'm going to get there. Nathaniel, don't run ahead of yourself. Ezekiel, I think 18, 1 to 4. Let's go. After a while, God said that, unto me again, saying what? Verse 2. The word of the Lord came unto me saying, as I live, saith the Lord, what mean ye this, that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord God, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine, as the souls of the Father. So all the soul of the Son is mine, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So, you know, that judgment we are talking about, eternal judgment, you won't get there and use your father as an excuse and use your mother as an excuse. Every man for himself. We're going to get there shortly. And you see that it will help us address this thing about judging people. Because at the end of the day, the eternal judgment is about you. It's not about what that pastor is doing. It's not about what your wife is doing, what your husband is doing. It is what you are doing. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. So, I said eternal judgment is a decision or ruling with perpetual implication or ramification in eternity. It's also a sentence that will last forever. When we talk about eternal judgment, we're talking about a sentence that will last forever. Or you can also write a decision whose consequence or consequences or implication shall last forever without reversal or parole. So it's a serious business. It's a serious business. The OAC is a church with lots of lawyers because we were very close to the law school. So I pastor lots of lawyers. So I'm a lawyer by proxy. I know some things. Amen. Any small thing, when I'm talking, I say, oh God, you want to use lawyer sense for me. Amen. Without parole. What does parole mean? That they'll, okay, what? Lawyers, help me. They'll release after some time just to see if you behave well. Once that sentence is passed in eternity, it is sealed. Say it's sealed. It is judgment that is sealed. Can you see what people are playing with on earth? Can you see? Can you see? And this will be given by the Son. It is sentence, decision, or ruling made by the righteous judge, Jesus Christ, to determine where and how people would spend their eternity. And this will be based on the decisions and outcomes of their lives while on earth. Let me say that again. Eternal judgment would involve sentence, decision, or ruling made by the righteous judge, Jesus Christ, to determine where and how people will spend their eternity based on the decisions and outcomes of their lives while on earth. The same way you get a promotion based on the work, the input you put in your place of work, based on how you fared at work. There's a reward system for that. And in the other case, when it's time to retrench, they open the books. How many queries does this person have? They use that as what? A basis to downsize. Do you understand? There are books. Say there are books. May you be found on the good book. So it is God through his Son, the righteous judge, deciding a person's reward or punishment for all eternity. Eternal judgment is the judgment that impacts upon our eternal destiny. I like the way Derek Prince puts it. He says, the condition you find yourself when you die is what determines your condition in eternity. That's why every now and then you find people on their hospital bed when reality hits them. Some people who are able to get a glimpse, and I call that the extreme mercy of God. God is so merciful. Somebody has lived a life of rebellion for years, and just at the dying minute, And many times it's not by accident. That's because there must have been people praying and interceding. You know, calling their names before God. And just on the brink, God shows them mercy. They accept Jesus. You know, but there are some people who are living like that, saying, I'll live anyhow. And when I want to die, I'll just accept Jesus. Hey, it will shock you. Amen. When did the Bible say now? It says now is what? The acceptable time of salvation. Now is the time of salvation. You don't procrastinate when it comes to eternal destiny. Amen. Now, let me show us how let's talk about some of these judgments quickly. There are a few judgments in the Bible. I'll just state them for your information. Okay, but we'll focus on just two and then share the principles behind the judgment. It's important that you know this. We've got to be Bible students. I'll give you a few. There's the judgment of the nations. The judgment of the nations. Matthew 25, 31 to 46. You know, some people call it the judgment of the sheep and the goats, where they tell you on the left are the goats, on the right are the sheep. Amen. Nations are categorized like that. Sheep nations, goat nations. Amen. And there are many goat nations. Goat nations are the ones who want to play God. They want to change the ordinance of God. Amen. In all areas. They want to pervert the ordinances, the laws of God. Today, I just came back from a foreign nation, which may qualify as a good nation. I won't mention it. And in the way and manner they celebrated the Pride Month. I mean, everywhere, the hotel, sometimes your bedspread, everything, they'll put it there. Oh, yes. The same way we say, Merry Christmas, that's how they are greeting themselves. Living in stark rebellion to God. So there are the goat nations. Let's just read a few of the scriptures and then we'll move on. I will just say a few things. Matthew 25, 31. Let's read one to go. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a sheep divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Okay, let's leave. There's a long read. After the tribulation, the Lord Jesus will sit in judgment over the Gentile nations. They will be judged according to their treatment, listen, of Israel. I'm telling you scripture, and I'm not telling you something I cooked up. It's in the Bible, so do a research. So the way and manner nations treat Israel shall determine how God judges them. The judgment is also called the judgment of the sheep and of the goats. Those who showed faith in God by treating God's covenant people favorably are regarded as sheep who will enter the millennial kingdom. Those who followed Antichrist's lead and persecuted God's people are goats who will be consigned to hell. That is the word of God. And I'll read when we get to other points to you. When we get to the tribulation. Now there's also the judgment of angels. 1 Corinthians 6:2-3. Paul says that you and I, Christians, believers, will do what? Judge angels. That's why you are in error when you worship an angel. Angels are ministering spirits sent forth to those that shall what? Inherit salvation. He says, you and I shall judge angels. That's why David always said, what is man that you are mindful of him? The son of man. You know, you've clothed him with what? Honor and dominion. Glory. We aren't exactly sure what this means, but the angels facing judgment will have to be the fallen angels. Remember that rebellion that Lucifer, you know, spearheaded, took 1/3 of the angels to rebel against God. Those angels are now known as demon spirit. They are the unclean spirits afflicting the nations now. They are demons today. So Satan also has his kingdom, his structure, principalities of power and powers, you know, in heavenly places, all of that arrangement. They are made up of what? Demonic angels, demonic spirits. The Bible says that we will judge them. Amen. Some of these demons are already imprisoned in darkness and are awaiting judgment. According to Jude 1:6. You can see Jude 1:6. Jude 1:6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he had reserved what? In everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Hell was never made for man. Hell was not, it's not a place that is made for man. Hell is for Satan and his demons. But for everyone who pays, who decides to pay the price of rejecting Jesus, the ultimate sin is rejecting Jesus. The Bible says that they will have their portion in the lake of fire, as we will read from Revelation 20 shortly. Amen. Now let's move forward. Let's look at the judgment of the tribulation period. The judgment of the tribulation period. And you find that in Revelation 6 and 16, you find seven angels blowing the trumpet. And every time they blew the trumpet, seals were opened and there were specific judgments upon the earth. Amen. These terrible judgments are pictured as seven seals open, seven trumpets blown, and seven bowls poured out. God's judgment against the wicked will leave no doubt. And if you read Revelation 6:16, which we would embark on shortly, you know, we are on Galatians, we would read and study the books of the Bible, even books like Leviticus. Jesus says, search the scriptures, for therein, what? They are spoken of what? Of him. Amen. You do not know the scriptures, and therefore you do not know the power of God. So, when we search those scriptures, they speak of Jesus. Amen. And besides punishing sin, these judgments, as we see, will have the effect of bringing the nation of Israel to repentance. Amen. Paul, we saw in Romans, when we studied Romans, he says, and he prayed that Israel shall be saved. The tribulation is a future 7-year period when God will finish his discipline of Israel and finalize his judgment to the unbelieving world, sometimes called the Gentile nations. Now, you and I, the church, are those who have trusted in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're talking about eschatology now, the study of the end of Revelation. There's a lot of back and forth theologians on this side. Some tell you, well, the church would have been raptured. Some say, no, the church won't be there. But I'm not here to do that argument. I'm here to share the word of God and then also take a position. You know, but I believe that the church will have been raptured by the tribulation. Amen. The church will be removed from the earth. And it's a concept called rapture. Now, the argument of some theologians is always that there is no rapture in the Bible, but the concept is in the Bible. Let's quickly look at it. Let's look at it. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18, that's where you have the word. You will see there the word caught up. The word caught up there is a Greek word that means to seize away. Let's read very quickly. One, two, go. But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring. You see, the criteria for escaping this tribulation and escaping eternal consequences is the fact that you believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So, you know, you understand when Paul says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And is it, it's amazing that we are preaching less of the gospel. Yes, I believe in the prosperity of the saints. I believe that, you know, we will reign in this life. I believe in all the water to wine. And I'm a believer that we should take advantage of everything Christ died for. But you see, we must not do that at the expense of the things that really matter. Because at the very, very most, at the very most, God gives you the grace for 120 years on earth. It is nothing compared to forever. Everlasting. And do you know that the fear of death to men is a sign that they believe in eternity? The fear of death is a sign that they believe that there is a time. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose, you believe and confess that. Even so, them also which sleep, that sleep there is to means those who have died in Jesus, will God bring with him. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. In other words, if you are not dead by the time Jesus is coming, if we are still here, you know, he says those who have died, when the trumpet sounds, those ones will be resurrected. We will be caught up with them and remain in the Lord unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. Continue. For the Lord himself shall what? Descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. That's why my ministry is very important. Hello? With the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. That word there, caught up. Caught up. Say, caught up. To seize. Now, you know when you say something, oh, I'm caught up in your music. I'm caught up in your beauty. I'm caught up in nature. You are trying to say that you are raptured. Amen. Let me give you the Greek word so you have that, since that's one of our major emphases. Caught up there is the word harpazo. Harpazo. Now, where did we get rapture from? Rapture is from the Latin translation of the Bible, where they use the word rapture there in the equivalent word in the Latin. Rapture. So that's where you get the concept. So whilst we may not have the name rapture, you know, expressly written, the concept is written. The concept is available. So the trumpet shall sound, and those of us who are alive will be physically caught up. It's going to be a supernatural occurrence. If you doubt that, then don't believe every other thing in the Bible. And if you're a student of the Bible, you see that Bible prophecies have come to pass without fail. Not one jot of the word will fail. Amen. May we be caught up with him. If we are alive till the rapture, may we make that flight to heaven. In the name of Jesus. Another scripture, 1 Corinthians 15:51-53, just for your knowledge. 1 Corinthians 15:51-53. So this is the foundation of your faith. I expect everyone here to write. Okay, so that you can also share with people. Amen. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall what? All be changed, transformed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen. For this incorruptible shall put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So, as I close on the tribulation, throughout scripture, the tribulation is associated with the day of the Lord. You hear that phrase in the scripture. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. That time during which God personally intervenes in history to accomplish his plan. I'll give you two scriptures. Isaiah 2:12. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. It's a day of judgment. Isaiah 13:6-9. Hold ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. From the Almighty. Some of these things sound like, really? That's because, you know, the church has forgotten. You know, we're not reminding ourselves of these things. There's a way your life plays out when you live in the context of eternity. There's a way you conduct yourself, you comport yourself when you live life with eternity in view. Now, let me quickly talk about the Great Tribulation very quickly. The Great Tribulation refers to the more intense second half of the 7 years. So the three is a 3.5 years period. We see that in Matthew 24:21. It's a time of distress. A time of distress. A time of distress. Matthew 24:21. For then shall be what? Great tribulation. Let's read it together. I want to go. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, not ever shall be. You see, when people say, I've seen hell. You have not seen hell anything. Oh, you just lost your job. You say, man, I've seen hell. Bible says people will hide in the rocks. They will say, let rocks fall on me. They will look for death and they won't find. You've not seen hell. And may you not see hell. May we not see hell. Daniel 12:1 speaks about it too. Talks about it as Jacob's trouble. We won't read that. Jeremiah 30:7. You know, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. It's also called the day of wrath, the day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, darkness and gloom. A day when the clouds will be blackened. A day of trumpet and battle cry. Zephaniah 1:15-16. Zephaniah 1:15-16. The day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wastedness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. The tribulation will be marked by various divine judgments. You know, celestial disturbances. You will see nature will revolt, will react. Natural disasters, earthquakes, famines, and terrible plagues. And you see, in his mercy, God sets a limit on the duration of the tribulation. Let's read Mark 13:19-20. Mark 13:19-20. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh shall be saved. But for the elect's sake, for those who he has chosen, whom he had chosen, he had shortened the days. Hallelujah. Now let's go to the last two that concern us. The judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. Now, any believer who does not appear here is doomed for life. We will look at the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. The great white throne judgment is the last after the millennium, when the Lord will judge the Gentile nations and unbelievers and those who have rejected Jesus. Let's go very quickly. Resurrected and raptured believers in heaven will be judged for their works. Now, this judgment is not whether you get to heaven or not. If you are in this place, it means you are saved. But what you will be judged for will be your works. Your works will be tried. Your service. Sin is not in view at this judgment. Let's go. This is where God will judge the value of our works. The things that we did. Why we did them. The motive behind, you know, why we did them. And if we did them for his glory and out of love. 1 Corinthians 3:12. And I want us to read together. One to go. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Continue. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work. So, you sang in the choir, we're going to try that your time in the choir by fire. We want to see the value of the work. Please give me this in the NLT. You preach the gospel. Why did you do it? Did you do it like Balaam? Because of money. Did you do it for vain glory? The fire of God will try. Let's read one to go. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal. The Greek says will be made manifest. What kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. Your offerings. The motive behind it. The reason why we are releasing albums and songs. Yes, you are saved. Verse 14. If any man's work abide which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So the judgment seat is a place for rewards, for crowns, for badges, for trophies. Amen. And you know, there will be surprises. The people that were not even very popular, the people that were not very well known, may just have the biggest ovation. Because this work we are doing is a heart work. There's one who sees our hearts. We can package it. Oh, do you know that it's possible to do God's work because of your ego? So that they say, I have many parishes. We are the largest church. Fastest growing this. Miracles everywhere. But there will be fire. Fire. Continue. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Now, hear this, just to prove that it's for believers. You will enter heaven, but you know, it's like F9, let my people go. We'll just give you one small room. You just manage to enter. Like, let him go. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss of that work. So, you come with this big work, and when it's burned, it can merely be visible. But he himself what? Read that. He himself what? Yet so as by fire. Amen. So did you see that? Works lasting value to the Lord will survive. The gold, the silver, the precious stones. Rewards will be given. Crowns given. Revelations 3:11. Please, we're closing out with this word. Just give me a moment. We need to have this. This is a major doctrine. Amen. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So the judgment seat is a place for rewards. Says the judgment seat is the place for rewards, for crowns, for trophies. It's a place for appraisal, commendations. Amen. So everybody there shall be saved. Do we understand? Hebrews 6:10, you see, it talks about, you know, God not forgetting our work. For God is not what? Unrighteous. Say, God is not unrighteous. To forget your work and labor of love, which he have shown towards his name, in that he have ministered to the saints and do minister. The pastor did not see you, but God saw you. Sometimes we are looking for this honor from men. We want to be seen by men. Yes, there's something that, you know, encouragement and appreciation and gratitude from men does. But see, the ultimate reward is God. Let's not forget that. When we start feeling bad and getting offended, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and nobody has seen that, remember that the rewarder sees it. Sees it. And there will be a day when the pastor that didn't even see you would notice, wow, you mean it was even your prayer that was holding the church? The things you did in secret. This is where works are judged for assessment of service for rewards. So the judgment seat of Christ is that judgment where works are judged for assessment, judged for assessment of service for rewards, commendations. Let me give you a few scriptures. 1 Peter 1:7-8. And we are going to be judged by the things that we did while we lived. 1 Peter 1:17. For if ye call on the Father who without respect of persons, and this judge will not be partial, will get there. You can't bribe this judge. Your dollars won't work there. I want to call this person, won't work there. You know how we do when you're on the road, police stops you. Most times, you see Nigerians like this. or last man, you are calling somebody, there will be no network there. Let's read together. I want to go. If ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to what every man's work, pass the time of your sojourn here in fear. Read it in the NLT. In other words, for you know that God paid a ransom, and remember that the heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. Oh, let's read it. Everybody read this. Want to go. And remember that the heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge. So you know they look person eye. It doesn't matter who you are. You are a senator, you are a bishop, you did a hallelujah challenge. Everybody is the same. Everybody will find their level. He will judge or reward you what? Let's read this one to go. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. That is a point for sailor, for people who say grace has done everything. You hear those things? It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter. Say it matters what you do. Shout it. Say it matters what you do. You will be judged before the judgment seat of Christ for what you've done. We were saved unto what? Good works. Say it matters. Say it matters. Now, if it matters, and if you are judged according to what you do, what is the advice from Peter? Want to go? So, you must live how? In reverent fear of him during your time here as what? Every now and then, here, Canadians, I got my PR. Permanent residents. You are not permanent. Hello? Say you are not permanent. Say we are pilgrims. They are permanent. Not permanent. Even the nation can revoke it. Let's read that again. That's powerful. You must live. Say what? You must live in reverent fear of him during your time here as temporary residents. Powerful. 1 Peter 4:17, quickly. 1 Peter 4:17. 1 Peter 4:17. It's important to have the scriptures. Please write them down. Want to go? For the time is come that judgment must what? Begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not? The Bible says judgment begins in the house of God. Even now, God is judging his church. But ultimately, the judgment seat. Say the judgment seat of Christ. That's for believers. 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Want to go? For we must what? All appear before what? The judgment seat of Christ. So that's where we have it. We all. In other words, that all there, Paul was talking to what? Christians, to believers. We all. So it's not for the unbelievers, not for the Gentile nations. That one, their judgment will go there, the great white throne will get there. When Revelation 20 says, without our dogs. That every what? One may receive the things done in this body. In other words, while you are alive, according to that he had done, whether it be what? Good. Or bad. Say we all. Finally, 1 Corinthians 11:28. 1 Corinthians 11:28. Want to go? For the Son. No, no. 1 Corinthians 11:28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. That's why every now and then we examine ourselves. When the Holy Spirit brings stuff to you, deal with it. Deal with it. Engage the continuous cleansing power of the blood. 1 Corinthians 1:7-9. That the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. Let me tell you the truth. Oh, it says you are blessed to be hearing these things. They are scarce nowadays because men of God are afraid to tell you what you need to hear so that you come next Sunday. But we've made a vow in this house. We will share the total counsel of God plus the preacher preaching it. You think I'm preaching to you because I'm made? No. As I'm preaching, I'm mirroring myself. And do you know the Bible says that? Let me leave that. I'll go there. Now let's look at the great white throne judgment. Where may you not be found on this place, though? This great white throne judgment. Revelations 20, 11 to 15. Revelations 20, 11 to 15. Let's read. 1, 2, go. And I saw. I said, everybody, let's read. 1, 2, go. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Remember, the children came to talk about the book today. They didn't know I was preaching this. Is that God speaking to us or not? Want to go? Continue. And another book was opened, which is what? The book of life. Say the book of life. Can you hear that God is speaking to us? I did not invite the children. Pastor Alabi called me and said, please, can they come and choreograph the book of life? Of all the 52 Sundays of this year, why this one? Why this one? Shabakaratama. God is in this house. Let's read together. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to what? Their works. Continue. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. According to their what? Oh, what I do doesn't matter. According to their work. No, it doesn't matter what I do, whatever I wear, whatever, it doesn't matter. According to their work. And what? And death and hell were cast into. So, death that is killing people and hell, Hades, will be cast into the lake of fire, burning with sulfur. Jesus described it, where worms don't die. People who have had mercy to escape it, when they wake up, Some people have woken up sweating. Do you know that some preachers say we shouldn't talk about hell? Jesus spoke about it. Jesus is our example. Yes, we don't. You don't talk about hell to instill fear in people. No. The gospel is the power unto salvation. But I say it this way: whilst you tell people what they are saved to, it's important to share with them what they are saved from. So they value where they are. Say, while you share with people the goodness of what they are saved to, it is equally important to show them what they've been saved from. Where there is pain. People who have shared it, the excruciating pain. They say there is no pain like that pain. There is no dark, that the darkness of hell is painful. That you are aware. People know themselves more than they would even know on earth. They are more aware of themselves. And the dead and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is what? The second death. I tweeted years ago. It was my tweet. Some people have taken it now. I said, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. What does it mean? When you are born again, the second time, you can only die once. When you die physically. And when you die to live alone again. But when you are not born again, you die the second death. And let's read verse 15, it's sobering. And whosoever Continue. Let me see. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go to Revelation 22. Verse 15. Want to go? Sorcerers, warmongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh without. In other words, outside of God's presence. You will not be found there. There's a scripture. If you get that scripture, show it to me. Where I think the book of Revelation lists out those who will be in the lake of fire. This is the final judgment, the great white throne judgment of unbelievers for their sins. Their sins occur at the end of the millennium. At this judgment, unbelievers from all the ages, you see, the Bible says the sea will give them up. All the ages are judged for their sins and consigned to the lake of fire. That's why the Holy Spirit is tasked in this world to convict the world of the coming judgment. John 16, 8 to 11. He's convicting people now. The Bible says, when he shall come, he shall convict us of what? Righteousness, of sin, and of what? Judgment. Okay, let's quickly read the scripture. Revelation 21, 8. Those who will be found in the second death. Want to go. But the fearful... How many of you, how many of us thought that being fearful is can qualify somebody to go to hell? Because to fear there means we don't have faith in God. That's what it means. That we've not placed our faith in God. We want to go. On unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the warmongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have what? Their path in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is what? The second death. These are unbelievers, not you and I. But if there's somebody here, you've not given your life to Christ, I just read your CV. I just read it. Yeah, no. Amen. And this CV qualifies you for the second death. And the blood of Jesus is here to deal with it today. If you believe in him today, you shall be saved. And for believers who would want to rededicate their lives. Amen. Finally, what will be the criteria for this judge? What will the judge be looking at? What would he be judging based on? Criteria for this judgment. From this judge. Romans 2 verse 2. Romans 2 verse 2. Romans 2 verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is what? According to truth. Say, according to truth. In other words, you have no counsel against it. When you go there, even you will know that you have no argument. There's no place for argument. So you will bear witness with the judgment because it is judged in truth. I've heard people who share this out of body inexperience, and they come back saying they knew they deserved it. That they, in fact, their memory came back. They recalled the things and the situations, and everything was intact because the one who judges according to truth. Truth is reality. Truth is what is right. There is no counsel against it. Number two, we've said this, they will render to every man according to his work. Romans 2:6. Not what your pastor did. Not what your wife did. What you did. Who will render to every man according to what? Say his own. That's why Jesus says, before you look at the speck in the other person, spend the time to sort out yourself. May God help us. Another scripture that you may just write it down. 1 Peter 1:17, we read it. Revelations 20:12. Then the third one is that he will judge without partiality. No favoritism. No favoritism. Romans 2:11. He's not a respecter of persons. Are you being blessed today? Is this good word? Let's read. For there is no respect of persons with God. See, there's no respect of persons with God. See, there's no respect of persons with God. You are not the one who respect people. There are people you see, you bring them to the front. Before God, everybody is the same. The same blood is available to all. The same spirit of Christ is in them if they are saved. Number four, he judges according to light. I'll explain that. According to the volume of light that you have. What do I mean? To whom much is given, much is what? Expected. Romans 2:12. Let's read. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. As many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Remember, let me show you this, very important. Matthew 11:20-24. So if God has entrusted you with light, that's why teachers, he says, don't be in a hurry to be a teacher, because they will be judged what? Differently. Hope you know that pastors will be judged differently. People in leadership will judge. That's why when people are killing a cow because they ordained them, they don't know what they are doing. Some people even bribe because you want to be ordained. Won't go. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. In other words, Sodom, it will be better for them, because if they knew what you knew, they perhaps will repent. So I'm judging them based on their time, what they knew. So if you come to the Oasis and you've heard this sermon, God will judge you on a higher standard than someone who has not heard it, but they will still be judged, because they, you know, the responsibility was theirs to find the truth and sell it not, or buy the truth. Go to verse 25. And that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Finally, as we close and bow our head, God will judge the secrets of men. Romans 2:16. We come before a God who is light, no matter how you hide it. In the day when God shall do what? Judge what? The secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to the gospel. Can we bow our heads? We have shared one of the principles of the doctrine of Christ, eternal judgment. This is not a myth. It is not a fable. It is not some fiction. This is a reality everyone will face. Hebrews 9 says, it is appointed to man once to die, and afterwards, judgment. First, I'm going to make a call. Anyone here, this is not a day to be ashamed. God sent us a witness with those children. You know you are not born again. You qualify for the second death, where you will be thrown in the lake of fire. You can tell by the way you live that Jesus is not the Lord of your life. wherever you are, I shouldn't beg you today. Jesus is here. And if you accept him and live for him, when you are judged, because everyone will be judged, you won't be standing before him at the great white throne judgment, but before the judgment seat of Christ. Wherever you are, Pastor Nathaniel, I want to be truly born again. That is the escape from the second death. Please don't be ashamed. And we have to do this. Wherever you are, please come forward. Wave at me first. Wave at me first. Don't be ashamed. 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 If you believe that Jesus died, if you believe that he rose again, and you confess it, it's that simple. You will be saved. I don't want to end this without giving someone an opportunity. Where are you? Can you raise your hands? God sent us this message. Don't be ashamed. Wave, wave, wave. Yes, that's it. Wave, 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 wave. Don't be, I'm not going to stay here for long. Can you wave at me? Wave at me. Say, Pastor Nathaniel, I'm not too sure I'm born again, but I want to give my life to Christ. Wave. Anybody, 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 anybody. I'm just going to give you one more call. I'm just going to give you one more chance. If a voice is saying to you, don't worry, it doesn't really matter. No, 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 no. Perhaps God organized this service for you. Let me see your hands. Wave. Wave at me. God bless you. I see that hand. Please, if your hand is waved, please come. Come. Come quickly. We have to close. Come, come, come. Come, come. Come out, come out, come, come, come. Keep clapping, keep clapping. Now the rest of us, you are a believer, but you are not sure about your walk with God. I want us to stand and make a commitment. The Bible says, let all things be done for his glory and be done in love. Say, for his glory. And, you know, in love. Everybody stand, everybody standing, everybody standing. Lift your hands to the Lord as we make a renewed commitment. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I have heard your word. Thank you. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that saved me. Let that blood cleanse me. Cleanse me. Cleanse me. Open your mouth and say, purify my intentions. Purify my motives. The Bible says that God tried the reins. He tried the hearts. Ministers, can you minister to these brothers? God trieth the reins. Quickly, quickly. And please, proper, you know, minister salvation to them. One more person should come. Judgment seat of Christ is for commendation and not for condemnation. It is for commendation and not for condemnation. Say, Lord, help me to serve you in truth. Help me to truly honor you so that when my works are tried by fire, they will stand the test. Your works, whatever it is, your life. Can we join our hands as we close? I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Turning back. There's somebody here, the Holy Spirit just told you that you need to be out of here. You probably are a Christian, but something is going on in your life. You know there's somebody that I'm hanging on for. I beg you by the mercy of God. While he sang that song, I felt a strong need. Not to pray there, but to run out. I have. Not to stay there, but to run out. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. What we are talking about is your eternal destiny. Your eternal destiny. This is not a time to be cute. For you will wish that this day will come back, and it may not come back. Oh, what a privilege you have to hear this message. May you not wish. The Spirit is calling. Oh, no. This is not what you say. Well, people look at me. They say every man by himself. Every man will give account by himself. Your neighbor will not be there. I have decided to live for Jesus. Say, I have decided to live for Jesus. It is worth it staying one more minute for a soul. To live for Jesus. To live for Jesus. Please come and minister to them. To live for Jesus. No turning back. Put your right hand on your chest. Say, Father, I receive grace to live for you. I receive grace to worship you in spirit and in truth. Whether men see me or they don't see me, I will live for you. In Jesus' mighty name.